I love this church. Kimmy, that was an original song, was it not? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, John. But you were great. That was beautiful. Thank you. I thought it was yours. Just let's briefly reflect on this passage. It doesn't sound like a passage that's related to what we talked about yesterday, but I think it is. And I want to try to explore that with you. Martha is not exactly the heroine in this story, is she? But you've got to kind of sympathize with her. I mean, she's doing all this stuff that we would have done if Jesus stopped by for lunch at our house, right? She's kind of freaking out. And she's sort of frantically kicking clothes under the bed. You can see her kind of firing up the stove, wiping down the tables, and cleaning up the dishes. And isn't that what we do when important people show up to our house? We scurry around, we're handing out drinks and saying, sorry folks, the place is a mess, sorry folks, the place is a mess. I mean, why don't we just say, you know, this place hasn't been this clean in 20 years. Martha's sister Mary, meanwhile, is just sitting at Jesus' feet. Most of you are familiar with this story. She's just got, you can kind of imagine her with this sort of dreamy look in her eye. And, you know, it's clearly irritating her sister. Martha's visibly annoyed. She complains to Jesus, and Jesus, of course, says to her that she's chosen the best thing. The choice to just sit there and do nothing. And if you think about it, there are probably several reasons why Martha's ticked off. For one thing, she's doing exactly what she thought God wanted her to do. She's working like a maniac to make sure that Jesus is comfortable and he gets a good meal. What's wrong with that? At the same time, Martha's sister is doing exactly what all good Presbyterians know that God doesn't want us to do. She's listening to the Lord's teachings, but she's not doing anything about them. She's not doing anything to show that she's taking them to heart. She's just sitting there. Once when our daughter Holly was about 7, this is the one who's now the missionary with YWAM, Mary got kind of fed up with her for her sassy attitude in her messy room, and she said, I want you to go in there and clean up your room. And Holly looked straight at her and she said, do I look like the maid? In Martha's eyes, Mary's acting like a 7-year-old who's got entitlement issues. And as if that wasn't enough, the house guest, Jesus, doesn't appreciate this 5-star treatment that he's getting. He seems to be telling Martha that instead of rolling out the red carpet, she should also have done nothing at all. She should just be sitting there too, and who's going to serve the lunch? So for all these reasons, it's kind of hard to blame Martha for getting just a little bit ticked off. But to understand the story, I think we really need to look more closely at what's going on. Most stories in the New Testament are like that. We need to dig a little deeper to understand what's motivating these two sisters. First, let's think about Martha's anger. You might think that Martha's problem was that she's too busy. That's kind of the spin that we have about that story. It's a story about somebody who's just too distracted for Jesus. But that's really not quite it. Many of us, by the way, have that problem, right? We're distracted, and we're too busy, and we need to slow down and simplify. Of course we do. That's kind of the problem of our age. But Martha's core problem is really resentment, right? She's resentful. She's feeling overworked and underappreciated, and it's all magnified because her sister's not pitching in. And worse than that, she's probably feeling jealous because her sister's receiving so much attention from Jesus. It's resentment really that soured Martha's attitude. You can see that. And what makes the whole scene so sad and kind of regrettable is that Martha's missing out on her blessing. Right? Think about it. God's given her this opportunity of a lifetime. She gets to host a lunch for the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He's coming over for lunch. She gets to do this for him, but Martha's bitterness and her jealousy blind her so that she can't even see something as marvelous as serving Jesus as a blessing. It's for her a chore. And some of us kind of feel that way sometimes when we're serving God. Unfortunately, that resentful spirit does show up sometimes in the church too. It shows up in the best of us. Anybody who's working hard for the Lord is vulnerable to those feelings, especially when we go the extra mile and nobody notices. And especially in this age that we're in today, you know, yesterday it was interesting. You heard our speaker refer to our church life as sort of hard ground. Well, that's life for most churches in America today. We're working on hard ground. And it's easy for us to get kind of resentful and bitter about what's going on. That's not an uncommon thing at all in the church. So, unfortunately, we see this in Martha. And anybody now who's working hard for the Lord, especially when we go that extra mile, we find ourselves sometimes vulnerable. And people, it becomes even worse when people say to us, wow, why are you wasting so much energy on that? A lot of us who work hard for the Lord, we find people around us going, why are you putting so much time in this? Why is this sort of becoming a centerpiece of your life? We want to come back to that in a minute. Before we talk about the remedy for resentment, let's think about Mary. It's clear why she chooses to sit and do nothing. She's the one who's basking in the Lord's glorious presence, right? She's drinking in whatever words of wisdom Jesus has to offer. She's hungry for him and for what he has. Martha thinks she's a slacker, but Mary's actually doing something profound and beautiful. And she's giving us a living example of pure devotion. And if you think about it, it's really kind of hard to exaggerate the magnitude of her influence through the centuries. I mean, here we are, even this morning, we're learning from her example to slow down and focus on the Lord and listen to his voice. And people have been doing that through the ages, thinking about Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. So I think this is a great story for people like us who are kind of struggling to be better witnesses for Christ. And that's kind of been the theme this weekend, right? It's a story that tells us what it means to be all in. What it really means to be all in. I think two points stand out. The first one is that it's easy to lose your focus when you're serving the Lord. It's easy to lose your grounding. It's easy to learn to forget your first love and why you started down that path to begin with. It's easy to become bitter and resentful of people who aren't working as hard as you are. It's easy to become envious of people who seem to have discovered the joy and the peace of Jesus without having to work at it, without earning it. What's the remedy for that? What's the key? Is to do all things with love. Isn't that the answer? You look at the wider story of Jesus. It's to do all things to love. To serve not because you're looking for glory, not because you're looking for a thank you, but because it just gives you joy to see others thrive. Maybe to see somebody enjoy a good meal that you cooked. Paul issues a warning to us about all of this in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember, he says, I might work so hard at being a disciple that I would deliver my body to be burnt. But he says, if I don't have love, my sacrifice doesn't mean anything. Second, I'm going to end with this. What is most powerful in our witness for Christ is our devotion. It's our devotion to him. And I don't mean the kind of devotion that shows itself in emotional displays when you're worshiping, or in charity that's done to impress people with how good you are, with how holy you are. I mean the kind of devotion that's shown by people like Mary who are truly building their lives on Jesus and his teachings. And that shows over time. People who love the Lord just and obey him just because they love him. People who worship the Lord just because they can't imagine a life without worship. People who serve Him and by serving other people and who do so because they genuinely want to see the best for them. That they're just motivated by that. You know, Doug talked about building trust and by building relationships. And that really begins with demonstrating love for others. And that begins with really showing them that your motivation is to see them realize God's dream for their life. When you truly feel that way about a person, they pick it up when it's real. That's really what building trust is about, isn't it? It's showing somebody that you're not looking for anything from them. You just really want to see them discover the joy and the peace that God has for them. Doug told us that we need two things. He said, high discipleship and high evangelism. Remember that? Remember that was the quadrant? You're high and low, low and high, two of them. And when you bring it all together, you have high discipleship and high evangelism. Remember he talked about, you just talked about chocolate milk and chocolate. He talked about bringing together chocolate and peanut butter. And what we really want is a Reese's bar, right? That's high evangelism and high discipleship, the Reese's bar. Well, Mary and Martha, they're chocolate and peanut butter. That's what's in this story. It's chocolate and peanut butter. They're kind of, both of them, they're still growing. They're immature people in some ways. Mary's just sitting there because she's kind of an empty vessel. She needs to be filled. She's not ready to serve. Martha's freaking out and full of resentment. She doesn't really love Jesus as she should. They're both growing. But when you bring together pure service, pure devotion, that's chocolate and peanut butter, and that's a Reese's bar, right? So the story is one that's really full of promise, isn't it? You have the sense that together these sisters are going to be amazing witnesses for Christ. You know, it's not a story about how awful these people are. It's about how they're learning and growing and making mistakes. But there's real potential here. Jesus loves them. And you have the sense that something good is ahead. And so it is for us, for this church, right? So it is for us. As we say in our mission statement, we're a family of imperfect people. We say that right up front in our mission statement. I don't know too many churches to do that. I don't know how many people we scared away with that one, but that's what it says in our mission statement. But we're really close, I think, to bringing together the chocolate and the peanut butter. We have 3 out of 4. That's what we found out yesterday. We're one step away from becoming a genuine, irresistibly delicious Reese's peanut butter bar. And with that slightly weird image in our heads, let's pray. God, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful weekend you've given to us. We ask your blessing on the others that are here this weekend and going about their business as churches and families. We ask, God, that you would strengthen this church family. God, that you would give us excitement about going back and practicing what we talked about and learned. And God, we know that we are loved by you in spite of our imperfections. We know, God, that you have sent us into the world, that we're not a church family that is intended to be a holy huddle, but we're supposed to turn out and go out and shine for you. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us to serve you with purity of heart. Lord, help us to obey you because we love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name.